WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Israel is expected to launch a ground invasion of Gaza soon in search of militants who invaded Israel 10 days ago. Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conricus with the Israeli Defense Force.
The Gazan civilian population are not our enemies. We are not looking to strike them. And our military operations are focused on the military capacities of Hamas.
The BBC's Tom Bateman says conditions in Gaza are deteriorating.
Water is running out. There are huge queues at bakeries where bread is rationed to 5 pieces per family. Hospitals are close to a complete collapse in services, threatening thousands of lives, says the UN.
More than 500,000 people have already fled Gaza. CBS's Natalie Brand.
Palestinians with dual citizenship crowded the border crossing from Gaza into Egypt, hoping to flee the escalating violence.
I don't think this makes any sense.
In Gaza, rescue workers tried to retrieve casualties from the rubble following Israel's relentless airstrikes.
The head of Israel's Shin Bet Domestic Intelligence Agency has issued a statement taking personal responsibility for failing to prevent Hamas from carrying out deadly rampages in Israel. Henry Ford's great-grandson, Bill Ford, made a rare public plea for striking auto workers to end their month-old strike.
The UAW leaders have called us the enemy in these negotiations, but I will never consider our employees as enemies. This should not be Ford versus the UAW. It should be Ford and the UAW versus Toyota, Honda, Tesla, and all the Chinese companies that want to enter our home market.
At the Ford plant in Dearborn, Michigan, he said the walkout could cost the company the ability to invest in the future. The federal judge overseeing former President Trump's 2020 election interference case has imposed a narrow gag order. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan has ordered the man who appointed her not to mount what she calls a smear campaign against prosecutors and court staff. Republicans plan to try again tomorrow to elect a new House Speaker. But the newest nominee, Jim Jordan, doesn't have enough votes from his own party to win. CBS's Nicole Killian asked him.
What's your sense of the number of holdouts, though, at this point? And are you continuing to meet with people?
I feel really good. And we're going to talk, we're going to listen to our colleagues tonight.
Football fans will be able to cozy up with a country music star for the holidays.
I'll see you all this Thanksgiving.
Dolly Parton tells CBS she'll perform during the Cowboys-Commanders halftime show at AT&T Stadium. She isn't revealing the playlist, though. Dow up 323 points. S&P ahead 44. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Moments like my daughter telling me.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Chippewa Falls man has been arrested after allegedly sending inappropriate and sexual messages to a person he believed to be a 15-year-old girl. According to the Chippewa Falls Police Department, 39-year-old Brian Anderson is accused of knowingly communicating with the person online for the purpose of meeting them for sexual encounters. He was taken into custody for use of a computer to facilitate a child sex crime, and several items were seized from his home as evidence to be analyzed. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is again arguing that a hard cap on the state's wolf population should not be put in place. The agency says without a hard limit on the number of wolves in the state, they will have more flexibility to address the complex issues they face in managing the species. Republican lawmakers and hunter advocates have pushed for a firm number of wolves in the state, saying it protects both the wolf population and people who may have issues with wolves attacking livestock. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap.
93.5.
The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide with the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our producer and engineer. It is Monday, October 16th, 2023. Welcome back to another work week and back to school. Good to have you along with us on a Monday. Mr. Zommers, how the heck are you?
Doing pretty well. I had a relatively uneventful weekend, which is good.
Really? All right.
Went to Manitowoc to see some friends. But then Sunday I came back early enough that I just got to relax. I haven't had weekend, like a day where I just stay at home in months.
Well, now you did. That's fantastic. You look a little tan, rested. Well, not tan, but you look a little rested. So that's good. Yeah, I had a good weekend as well. Went up to Richland Center in the old hometown yesterday. My sister and brother-in-law and family came down and then saw mom as well. Went to the Oakwood Fruit Farm. You've heard me talk about it before, but if you've not been there in Southwest Wisconsin, dial it up. Oakwood Fruit Farm, I'll guarantee you, or as we say back home, guarantee, is the best caramel apple you're ever going to have.
That's right.
At Oakwood Fruit Farm. So
For me, it may be the first caramel apple I ever have.
You've never had one before?
Yeah, I remember last time you brought this up, I mentioned that. And I said, yeah, when I was little, my mom didn't think that we needed to eat a whole caramel apple as a small child, which is fair.
Divided it up.
And then I had braces.
Oh,
that's And then right. after that, I just didn't do it.
Hard to do caramel apples and braces, that's for sure. But yeah, I had a great time. And also, speaking of my brother's, my sister and brother-in-law, happy anniversary, 24 years happily married up there in Eau Claire.
Happy anniversary.
WCFW, Chippewa Falls, the Tap up there in Eau Claire. They listen in. So happy anniversary to Heather and Mike Galloy today on their anniversary. Big show ahead. Coming up this hour, some breaking news for you on the Trump scene. The judge in that Washington, D.C. case has put a partial gag order on former President Trump. We will talk about that. Also going to talk about the speaker's race coming up this hour as well. What's happening, and we'll update you in terms of gymnasium, GYM, Jim Jordan, as our friend and colleague Matt Flynn likes to refer to him as. We'll tell you why we do that and the importance thereof, and who may become the next Speaker of the House. We'll run down that for you as well. But I want to start on this Monday, where we kind of left off last week, continues to be the biggest news story of the world right now, and that is what's happening with the war in Israel. I want to start off the show today, and I want to take the opening, the cold open from Saturday Night Live from this past weekend. Pete Davidson, former regular, came back to guest host. He's a comedian. He lost his father. His father was killed in the attacks on 9/11. His dad was a firefighter in New York City. And it's poignant. It's a minute 46. We're going to take the whole thing. I want to play for you the opening from Saturday Night Live, Pete Davidson.
This week, we saw the horrible images and stories from Israel and Gaza. And I know what you're thinking. who better to comment on it than Pete Davidson? Well, in a lot of ways, I am a good person to talk about it because when I was 7 years old, my dad was killed in a terrorist attack. So I know something about what that's like. I saw so many terrible pictures this week of children suffering, Israeli children and Palestinian children. And it took me back to a really horrible, horrible place. And, you know, no one in this world deserves to suffer like that, you know, especially not kids, you know. After my dad died, my mom tried pretty much everything she could do to cheer me up. I remember one day when I was 8, she got me what she thought was a Disney movie, but it was actually the Eddie Murphy stand-up special, Delirious. And we played it in the car on the way home, and when she heard the things Eddie Murphy was saying, she tried to take it away. But then she noticed something. For the first time in a long time, I was laughing again. I don't understand it. I really don't, and I never will, but sometimes comedy is really the only way forward through tragedy. You know, my heart is with everyone whose lives have been destroyed this week. But tonight, I'm going to do what I've always done in the face of tragedy, and that's try to be funny. Remember, I said try. And live from New York, it's Saturday night.
And that was Pete Davidson's cold open to Saturday Night Live this past weekend. I thought it was extraordinarily well done.
I have to agree. That was very poignant.
Yeah, absolutely. And Pete Davidson, not a guy that you hear a lot of serious stuff from, but as someone who lost his father on 9/11, he certainly has a relatability to people in Israel and those in Gaza who are losing people right now, loved ones. And I think he makes an important point that I can certainly remember in the days and weeks after 9/11, one of the first late night comedy shows to come back was David Letterman in New York. And it was extraordinary television. It was extraordinary broadcasting. They started with a cold open, just Dave at his desk, just basically being 100% honest and saying, I'm helpless. I don't know what's right. I don't know what to feel. But I know that we have to try to keep going. And so we're going to try to make people laugh and get your mind off of it. And sometimes that's the best way to move forward. I think that's an important place to start. We'll come back at how cuts from Joe Biden last night on 60 Minutes. Also, retired General Barry McCaffrey on how this war could possibly expand and the chances that will take your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Don't go anywhere. Back after this, this is the Todd Elbow Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to the low to mid 50s for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to the mid 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s. On Wednesday, breezy with scattered showers with a high in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 15 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on the time and temperature sign. It is Monday, October 16th, 2023. Mr. Zomer's on the board. Glad to have you along with us on the start of another work week and back to school on a Monday. Talking before the break, this great cold open by comedian actor Pete Davidson on Saturday Night Live. I think it's just a great context to have this discussion of what's happening in the Middle East right now. That sometimes we don't always know all the answers. And I think it's important to remember from a humanitarian standpoint, however we're talking about things, that these are actual lives. And we all, well, those of us who are still alive, or those of us who were alive at the time, get it right yet, 9/11 was one of those things that you will never forget for the rest of your life if you were alive at the time. And those feelings. And remember what is happening in Israel, this attack by the recognized terrorist group Hamas was 7 times as terrible as 9/11 in terms of the percentage of people who were killed and injured. And then add on that the occupation and the kidnappings. So if you look at it through that lens, you begin to partially appreciate and understand perhaps what you feel like if you're an Israeli. And then you add on the years of being persecuted if you're a Jewish person. And the Holocaust, and realizing that what happened last week was the largest single-day killing of Jews since the Holocaust. And then you look what's happened since and what's happening in Gaza. Certainly there are innocent Palestinians who are being killed because Hamas uses them as human shields. And over the weekend, Israel turned back on their part of the water supply to Gaza. And now there are negotiations through the UN to open up the passageway from Gaza into Egypt to let some folks out there. And my understanding is from reporting, there are also some keywords, some folks who have been let out on the northern side. I think it's also really important to understand, as I listened to and read and watched various news sources over the weekend, there is a certain fog of war, not just in warfare, but also in reporting. And I think it's really important for those of us who have the privilege of a platform, a microphone, a camera, to be very careful of how we present things and what we talk about and put it in the context it deserves. In terms of having something that's accurate versus opinion. And so that is my pledge to you as we move forward on this issue to try our very best to get you accurate information. I want to go to a couple of cuts yesterday over the weekend. President Biden was interviewed by anchor Scott Pelley of 60 Minutes. And I want to bring you a couple of those cuts. I see there's a couple of people on the line that want to talk about the Trump issue. We're going to get to that. So David in California, if you could hang on just a few minutes later, because I want to finish up on, or at least get through these cuts of President Biden before we go to the breaking news on Donald Trump, which is there has been a partial gag order put on him. We will get to that. But I want to give you a couple of cuts from that 60 Minutes interview last night with Scott Pelley. Here's the context. He mentioned the president's age a couple of times, 81, which, you know, I'm not sure that you would do that normally. But he did it in the context to note that President Biden has been tired, been working a lot going on. And for those that, the reason that's important is that, I've said this 100 times, Joe Biden has a lifelong stutter, a severe stutter that he's dealt with. And when he's not in front of the camera around family or staff, he has a very pronounced stutter. And he has to focus all the time in public to try to minimize that. And as someone who was born with a speech impediment myself, a cleft palate and cleft lip, I can understand to a degree. I'm not a stutterer, but I can understand the struggle of having a speech impediment and the frustration when you can't get the words out. So I think Scott Pelley did that to say, look, maybe the president sounds, you know, a little tired here. It's because partly because he has a stutter. When you get tired, it's harder to control that. So I'm glad Pelley said that at the beginning. Here is Joe Biden. I want to take a couple of cuts. Here is Joe Biden and Scott Pelley. The subject was on Hamas and whether Iran is going to end up in this fight. Here is Joe Biden and Scott Pelley from last night.
Do you believe that Hamas must be eliminated entirely?
Yes, I do. But there needs to be a Palestinian Authority. There needs to be a path to a Palestinian state.
That path, called the two-state solution, has been U.S. policy for decades. It would create an independent nation next to Israel for 5 million Palestinians who live in Gaza and on the West Bank of the Jordan River.
And you believe Israel would pursue that after what's occurred?
Not now. Not now. But I think Israel understands that a significant portion of Palestinian people do not share the views of Hamas and Hezbollah.
Hezbollah is a powerful Islamist militia to Israel's north, which is armed and trained by Iran. Iran also supports Hamas.
There's limited fighting already on the northern Israeli border, and I wonder, what is your message to Hezbollah and its backer, Iran?
Don't.
Don't come across the border. Don't escalate this war.
That's right.
I thought that was an important cut to take, both from President Biden's words and also the historical context. Scott Pelley does it better than anybody else to help us understand what's going on. That Hamas, a terrorist organization, is attacking on one front, Hezbollah, supported by Iran and others on the north. It's very complex. And again, President Biden making it clear, don't take advantage of this situation if you're an enemy of Israel. The president over the weekend putting another U.S. aircraft carrier group into the Mediterranean, Dwight D. Eisenhower on her way to the Mediterranean Sea, into the region. We'll join the aircraft carrier group, Gerald R. Ford, who is already there. And it's not just the aircraft carrier, by the way. There are destroyers, missiles, aircraft, all part of this squadron, which will join up as a deterrent in the Middle East. Later on in this interview with Joe Biden last night and Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes, the subject came up of U.S. troops. Because I think a lot of people, there's misinformation out there. What does President Biden see as our, meaning the United States' involvement? Here's Joe Biden and Scott Pelley from last night again.
Can you foresee U.S. troops in combat in this new Middle East war?
I don't think that's necessary. Israel has one of the finest fighting forces in the country. I guarantee we're going to provide them everything they need.
Because of what we're seeing in the Middle East, is the threat of terrorism in the United States increased?
Yes. I had a meeting this morning with the Homeland Security people, with the FBI, for the Situation Room, for the better part of an hour to discuss how we make sure that we prevent a lone wolf and or any coordinated effort to try to do what was done in synagogues before, do what was done to Jews in the street. And so we're making a major effort to make sure that doesn't happen.
President Biden in 60 Minutes last night making clear he does not see, at least at this time, any need for U.S. boots on the ground. And also laying out his clear thought on this. And I'm so thankful that we have an experienced person like Joe Biden in the Oval Office at this dangerous and historic time. And don't take that from Todd. Take it from a four-star retired general. Here's Barry R. McCaffrey, retired four-star Army general, three-time Purple Heart Award recipient. He is an NBC News analyst. Here is his thoughts on U.S. Secretary Anthony Blinken working to stabilize the region, because this thing is a hotbed, has been for years. Here's what former or retired General McCaffrey said yesterday on the region.
I think that's a central concern of the Biden administration. It's the reason this magnificent Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, is working the regional capitals right now. The Saudis undoubtedly do not want to see the situation escalate. And by the way, Hezbollah, 100,000 fighters up in Lebanon, are likely to enter this battle. They're Shia Muslims. They're responding and funded by the Iranians. I think the IDF has a working background assumption that at some point Hezbollah will enter the fray. So this whole situation is going to get much worse in the coming weeks. But Israel has no option. They cannot live with the current situation, certainly from Hamas and Gaza.
Retired Army General, four-star, Barry R. McCaffrey. I want to give you all this information because I think it's extraordinarily important that we deal in facts and what is going on to help. This is very complicated. And we have to break this down in ways that we can all try to understand. This is an extremely important military region, economic region for the United States. Israel is the only democracy in that part of the world. We are a long-term ally, both Republican and Democratic administrations over the years. And what we are dealing with here, not me, the United States, is a powder keg. And let there be no doubt, Hamas, a terror organization, attacked Israel. They had a right to defend themselves. And I would join President Biden in urging Israel to be thoughtful and show restraint where applicable. But remember, Hamas has used Palestinians for years as human shields. Going through something that is seven times worse than what we went through after 9/11. That is the context. I want your phone calls on the other side. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Are you someone of the Jewish faith? What are you feeling at this time in the United States? Where do you think this is going? And are you thankful that we have somebody like Joe Biden in the White House right now? Also going to get to the breaking news of the day. Donald Trump receiving a partial gag order about an hour and a half ago. How long will it take him to actually break that gag order? And would he ever get put into jail for being in contempt of court? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. And don't forget, there is no Speaker of the House yet. Does Gymnasium GYM Jim Jordan have the votes? Or will moderate Republicans stop it? Could Hakeem Jeffries, a Democrat, actually be the Speaker? We'll discuss that all and more. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. Israel's gearing up for a ground offensive in Gaza more than a week after Hamas launched terror attacks. CBS's Holly Williams talked to soldiers there.
They say they're prepared, they're ready to go in. Some of them say they want to go into the Gaza Strip, even though they know there could be deadly fighting there. And they say that they're not scared.
President Biden's considering a trip to Israel. House Republicans plan to try again tomorrow to elect a speaker, but the party's latest nominee, Ohio's Jim Jordan, may not have enough votes to win the gavel. CBS's Nicole Killian caught him in the halls of Capitol Hill today.
Just picked up a new endorsement.
Picking those up every day.
Ford CEO Bill Ford is calling on union leaders now to end a month-long auto strike.
We need to come together to bring an end to this acrimonious round of talks.
Workers are demanding higher pay and better benefits, but Ford says high labor costs could limit its future investments, including more jobs. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum shows enrollment in Wisconsin's public schools is on the decline. The report found that since 2019, Wisconsin public schools have lost more than 32,000 students. The report noted many of those 32,000 students may be attending private school or homeschool, as private and home schools aren't held to the same standard when reporting enrollment as public schools. The report also noted a decline in Wisconsin's birth rate as contributing to the decrease. The Wisconsin State Assembly will vote on a proposal to change regulations in the food delivery industry this week. According to a CHAFER News report, the proposal would grant restaurants the option to disengage from third-party delivery platforms like DoorDash or Uber Eats and mandate food delivery drivers to complete basic food safety training. The proposal comes following complaints by a fast food restaurant chain about increases in complaints about the quality of food delivered by third parties. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show. It is 33 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock across the state of Wisconsin and on the Civic Media app around the world. Download the Civic Media app at your favorite iPhone or Android device. Simply type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. Civic Media takes less than a minute. It is free. Won't cost you a dime. That's what Gail King calls a deal. Talking before the break about what is happening in Israel, the war on Israel, and also what is happening in Gaza, the loss of life on both sides, tragic, gave you Joe Biden's comments and also those of retired four-star general Barry McCaffrey. We'll take your comments on that. Also, breaking news from the day, about an hour and a half hour ago, a federal judge this afternoon issued a gag order on former President Donald Trump limiting what he can say about Special Counsel Jack Smith's federal prosecution into his alleged attempt to subvert the 2020 presidential election. The order restricts Trump's ability to publicly target court personnel, potential witnesses, or the special counsel office's staff. The order did not impose restrictions on disparaging comments about Washington, D.C., where the jury will take place. Jury trial, that is, will take place. Or certain comments about the Justice Department at large, both of which the government requested. Big win for special prosecution today in court. CBS reporter Scott McFarland says if Trump calls Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, a thug, quote unquote, again, Judge Chutkan has promised sanctions. Same is true if Trump targets her, Jack Smith, Smith's family, court staff, or other witnesses and statements. A big victory for the special counsel's office in the first of the Trump criminal cases on the calendar for trial. What do you think about these top stories? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. David, out in California, you've been patient. We appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for calling in. What say you?
Oh, thanks, Todd. Yeah, it's funny. He didn't exactly downplay the issue about the Trump stifling himself. I think the judge allows that the one person he can criticize is her.
To a degree,
but
sure.
Everybody else is off limits. Yeah, everybody else is off limits. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, as you're describing it, though, maybe I could save some lives here and give him something else to talk about.
What's that?
And you remember about 2 weeks ago, his business license in the entire state of New York was yanked.
Yes.
Trump's Tower, he doesn't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. The profits are going to an agency to deal with the bankruptcy filings. Everything that Trump owns in New York City is now considered profits of fraud, and that his business license is yanked. So his credit cards shouldn't be any good anymore. He shouldn't be able to fill up his jet full of fuel. And there are 49 other states that are still allowing Trump to do business in them. And if the state of New York says it's a bad idea, you know, what say Wisconsin?
Right.
What say Missouri? The idea that anybody that's going to do business with Donald Trump is now doing business with a known fraudster. And what's their credit rating? Mm-hmm. You know, anybody, you know, is the Republican Party of Wisconsin,
right,
who's trying to impeach a Supreme Court justice who's never done a ruling yet,
right.
They're going to impeach her, and they've got the credibility to impeach her?
Yeah.
No, who's doing business with Donald Trump in Wisconsin? And I think you're going to get them talking about something else.
I appreciate the call, Bill, or David, pardon me. David, thank you so much. Really appreciate you calling in. A lot to unpack there, but a couple of great points. Number one, and I'm not an attorney. I don't play one on the radio. Tune in at 3:00 for my friend and colleague, Matt Flynn, who is an attorney. My understanding as a non-attorney, though, that, yes, to the point, Donald Trump can still do business in other states, but the reason that his business has been limited, and I think a lot of this is still on appeal in New York, is that there was actually a case there. You can't just arbitrarily say, well, so-and-so can't do business here. There has to be a reason for that. And in New York, there certainly was a reason, a court case brought before the courts, a legal case made. I'm not sure that there's actually a legal case. There's certainly an ethical case, but there has to be a legal reason. And again, Donald Trump can continue to fuel his jet, to David's point, by simply saying, well, you know, this credit card or this business is being run out of Florida. In Mar-a-Lago or wherever. So, I mean, that's probably part of, you know, being a business person. You disperse your assets. So in case something goes sour in one state, you have a backup. But actually, very true. Great call, David. Really, really appreciate that. And as far as Janet Protasiewicz, of course, Robin Voss, Speaker of the Assembly here in Wisconsin, late on Friday, saying for now, Republicans decided to hold off on impeachment. And again, there's no basis anyway. After former conservatives David Prosser and Justice Wilcox both told Voss, don't do it. You have no legal ground to impeach Janet Protasiewicz. new liberal Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin because she's done nothing wrong. Heck, she really hasn't done anything in terms of hearing cases. So Voss says he's going to take a wait and see approach. Just going to wait and see. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Dick in Madison. Dick, appreciate you holding. What's to you?
Well, if things aren't bad enough with what Biden's got on his plate in the Middle East, then you throw Iran into the mix. And I just read something from New York Times Magazine profile on Netanyahu from the 1st of this month, October. Uh-huh. And the other thing that got laid out there by Trump was getting out of the deal with Iran as far as looking for nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. And in reading this, it's fascinating because Netanyahu's military intelligence chief at the time is quoted in this article as saying that was a grave mistake to pull out of it, and adding retreating from plan A without having a plan B is never good.
Yeah.
You know, and Kerry, I think, okay, it wasn't perfect, but it was a starting point. And now, I mean, you throw them into the mix in this region too, and it really gets scary.
Well, there's more and more coming out, Dick. I appreciate your point. To your point, though, I mean, we have a situation in the Middle East. I think first and foremost, I mean, you saw in Israel, the former opposition leader to Netanyahu has joined together for an emergency coalition government. But the more you look at this, the more reporting that's being done, it appears that Netanyahu's government did, in fact, have some heads up that these attacks, maybe from Hamas, might be forthcoming. And there's a real growing emergence of a narrative that after this is passed, this emergency, that Netanyahu's political future, based on what we seem to be coming out now, may be in real jeopardy. I mean, he's already in a lot of trouble politically and legally, but his political future may be very short. But that's a long ways, or at least quite a ways down the road, first and foremost for Israel's self-defense.
Well, there's one other thing to that, too, though. You know who's a grower? He's not in the country presently, but his son has his father's ear a lot in a lot of issues. And there's some people saying that he might return and try and run. And after reading this profile, his son sounds like, well, let's just say he has some issues.
Polite way to put it. Dick, great call. Really appreciate you listening here in Madison. Thanks for holding. Always welcome. Thank you so much. 844-967-2789. If you'd like to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. Let's keep it here in Madison. And we have Tony in Madison listening in. Thanks for listening, Tony. What say you?
Todd, good to hear from you, man. I'm a little disappointed in your attitude and your thoughts on what's going on in the Middle East. I think you're wrong on a lot of things.
What specifically?
To start off right away, to first start off and say that Hamas uses children as decoys or as people as barriers. That's not true.
That is true. It's been proven by the UN. It's been proven by the United States.
No, it hasn't been proven by the UN. All right.
It has. I mean, Hamas is a known terrorist organization. But go ahead.
Okay. I'm not a Hamas fan, of course, but you know, Israel helped create Hamas, right? To fight Al Fatah, right?
They did not help create Hamas. In fact, the Palestinians and Israelis have been working towards peace for several years. Israel has let Palestinians come into Israel and break bread together and actually work in Israel. It is Hamas who has sold out the Palestinian people.
Palestinians come into Israel? Israel was Palestine. What are you talking about? All right. So
I'm looking at the current state of Israel and their sovereignty. So what's your point?
I'm saying, here's my point is that, okay, you're like, well, Israel has a right to avenge this terrible.
Defend themselves. I said, defend themselves.
Well, whatever. You mean the same thing, that they can go in there and bomb the hell out of the Gaza Strip. They've already, before this even happened, they only allowed electricity there for about 8 hours a day. You know, they control all these things. They have been killing and responsible for the deaths of innocent Palestinian children as well before this happened. This is a terrible, very stupid thing to happen. you know. But now we got people like
I don't know any accounts. I don't know any accounts of Israelis targeting children and women. Haven't heard any of those accounts.
Really? Well, then you're obviously not reading a lot of what's been going on. Indiscriminate bombings, and then they use the excuse, "Oh, well, Hamas was, hiding behind them." Yep. Gaza is just packed with 2.2 million people. There's no place to run. There's no place to hide for anything. Of course, Israelis, they've been bombing. I mean, you know, they've, come on, man.
Appreciate the viewpoint, Tony. Thank you so very much. Appreciate the viewpoint. But some of that stuff is just factually inaccurate. And I absolutely stand with Israel and that they have the right to defend themselves. I have called out loss of life on both the Israeli and Palestinian side. But the fact is, it has been proven that Hamas uses children and women and human shields. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bill in Oconomowoc. Bill, thanks for holding. What say you?
Good morning. I heard your comments before about Trump. I think if we worry about Trump much more, we're wasting energy. I believe he's at the end of his demise. Rudy Giuliani, look at where he is. The pillow man, he's done. Trump's assets are being secured. He couldn't get credit in America or Europe. That's why he had to go to Russia to try and build that hotel. His credit is zero. I mean, he has nothing. I think what we thought, we're hoping was happening, is happening. He is going to be, he's his own downfall. He's bringing himself down every time he opens his mouth.
Bill,
so I really think that part's over, and including our buddies over at the Caucus of Chaos, they're on their way out. They're all on their way out.
So, Bill,
they're going to go out in disgrace. Go ahead.
I'm curious your opinion. So you're saying, in your opinion, you don't think that Trump is going to be the Republican nominee. Who do you think it will be?
Oh, come on. No, it can't be. I mean, really, if they do, that'd be like saying, well, we want Al Capone to represent us. Yeah,
that,
I think
that's pretty much
be
it.
DeSantis. Well, they've got
Donald Trump has $45 million cash on hand. His closest competitor is Ron DeSantis that has five. Donald Trump is leading in every Republican poll. Ron DeSantis is now no longer attacking Trump, but Nikki Haley for second place. The Republican fellow nominees are going for second place. And Trump is up in most polls.
But, you know, on the polls, let's just talk about that for a minute. You know, polls are really unique at this day and age in 2023.
It's a snapshot.
But if you want to, well, it's not just a snapshot. It's opinion based on its source. And some of it's an actual count. Others, I really question. Reuters just had a good poll out, and I believe what Reuters, that comes out of Reuters. And they were saying that well over 60% of the American people have absolutely no use for Donald Trump. Well over 60%.
But you have to be careful. Was it likely voters or not? I mean, the opinion versus likely voters is very different. But I respect your opinion. Always appreciate you, Bill. I'm up against a break. I've got to go. Sorry, my friend. Stay tuned. More phone calls the other side. This is the Todd Lowball Show. Don't go anywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to the low to mid 50s for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to the mid 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s. On Wednesday, breezy with scattered showers with a high in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
And having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 minutes now before the hour of 2 o'clock. Coming up yet, we'll see, this hour or certainly next, going to get into the speaker's race in the House of Representatives. Will there be a speaker by the end of the week? I'm not so sure there will. We'll talk about that. Finishing up, but appreciate Bill McConnell. I appreciate him raising this point. Because I think there's a lot of people that think and have the same opinion as Bill. And I appreciate him calling in and voicing that opinion. That is that the court system is working, that there's a sense that Trump is done, and there is no way that the Republican base could ever nominate a guy like Trump for the presidency in 2024. I get it. In a normal, rational world, I spent almost 30 years in Republican politics before I left the party in 2011 over voter suppression efforts here in Wisconsin. So everything that I was raised on in Republican politics, that argument by Bill would hold true. Remember, I was the guy in 2016 that thought, wow, this is great that Trump got the nomination, because there's no way that people like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, all these stalwarts of Republicanism, and there's no way that they would ever let a guy like Trump take over the party.
And now they all lick his boots.
Well said, Mr. Summers. And now they all lick his boots. So I appreciate and I agree with Bill that Trump appears to finally being held accountable on some of these things. But if you think that alone is going to spell his political demise, you're simply not accurate there. He has the money. He has the momentum. He has the base to win a Republican primary. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Stoughton. CJ in Stoughton. What say you?
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call, Todd. There's a difference between Hamas and Palestine.
Agreed.
Hamas, certainly a terrorist organization and funded by Iran.
Mm-hmm.
I believe personally, I'm voting Republican. I don't care who the nominee is.
Okay.
And I may even vote for JFK because he's going to run as an independent because the Democrats won't even let him campaign or, run against Biden. So He's going to demise Biden's chances, which Biden's policies should demise his chances.
I appreciate you sharing that. I appreciate you sharing that because I find that very interesting. So you're a Republican. You're more inclined to vote for Trump, but you say you would consider, you're willing to consider voting for RFK Jr. Is that correct?
He's more of a moderate than many on both left and right. But Nikki Haley, is my number one choice. But
she's doing well.
Trump is the nominee. I'll vote for him because his history of policies. I don't believe Putin invaded a country when he was president. I don't believe missiles were flying over Taiwan and South Korea when he was president. I believe that groceries and was affordable and gas was affordable. And so his policies should win. I don't exactly like his personality, but bar none, we were safer and more prosperous with Trump in the Oval Office.
All right. I appreciate your thoughts, TJ.
And do you know how many?
I got to move on. Run out of time. I'm running out of time, CJ, but I appreciate always welcome. Appreciate your, that was a thoughtful comment. And look, we can have policy disagreements. I might not agree with it, but we can certainly have thoughtful policy disagreements. Let's continue on. Mark from the SAC. Mark, thanks for holding. What's to you?
Yeah, well, considering that Donald Trump actually did violate the 14th Amendment, Section 3, because he has continued to give comfort to the insurrectionists. I mean, it doesn't say aid and comfort in it, because words are important. I mean, when I was working, you know, as a state employee, I had to read statute and code, and words are important. I mean, like shall actually means must. Mm-hmm. The Republican Party's denial of actual words actually have real meaning is what just amazes me, because like contiguous in terms of our legislative districts. I mean, districts are required by our Constitution to be contiguous. Mm-hmm. And as I've said before, that there's over 50% of the assembly districts are not contiguous, and over 60% of the Senate districts are not contiguous. Now, if our Supreme Court, they must have a different dictionary than I've looked up, and I've actually checked Black's Legal Dictionary, and it actually says it's supposed to be touching. Mm-hmm. And how they can say, well, they're connected. Well, that's like saying Michigan is connected to Upper Peninsula of Michigan is connected to Lower Peninsula of Michigan, via Lake Michigan. I mean, they're certainly not contiguous. I mean, it's kind of puzzling to me that they were split up like that, but that's the way it is. But you couldn't deny, call them contiguous, as is most of a lot of the districts here in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, If Justice Prater-Savage says these districts are not constitutional because they're not contiguous, where can be the argument for that? Because how did they come up with this connection by a street that makes them contiguous? Well, BS. I mean, just BS.
Mark, what's your? You got about a minute left here. What's your opinion on, because your point, and you're great at it, you know the Constitution, you look at rule of law, a former state employee, you get that. But what do you make of voters who, Trump voters, Republicans, who just don't care about that? They care more about the passionate issues, the hyperbole. I mean, they're all in on the narrative. What do you make of that? As a person, you're probably going to vote for Biden.
Yes, and what they don't understand is the Constitution has to be read as a whole, because there's the provision in the preamble. The preamble of the Constitution lays out what the Constitution actually for, and one of those is domestic tranquility, as well as promoting the general welfare, a couple of the clauses there. And that's what our government is supposed to be doing. And Trump does not promote tranquility. I mean, that he promotes, chaos and disorder. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's done that his entire life. And why that appeals to some of these people, I mean, they'd be happy living underneath a dictator.
Right.
I mean, that's what it seems to me. They just seem to be embrace the dictator and as long as he makes the trains run on time, it doesn't matter who the trains are running over.
Yeah.
And that's what Trump is. He's a runaway train and running over,
But do you agree that despite all of his legal trouble and despite everything you just said, which I agree with, I mean, we can't sit here and say he has no chance of being the nominee. I believe he will be the nominee at this point.
And that's terrifying, that the Republicans do not have the courage, either actual courage or intellectual honesty, to say we cannot have this man run again as our nominee.
Mark, always great to hear from you, sir. Mark from the SAC, really appreciate you calling in. Stay tuned. We'll talk about the House Speaker's race. When will the chair be filled? And could it be a Democrat? Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, 844-967-2789 on the Civic Media radio number.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry.
They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 AD P. Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.